Shogger, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I apologize if my audio is a little sketchy. We're kind of coming out of the mountains here, heading back to Calgary. So hope you can hear me okay.
Oh, your one-day trip to Banff. Wow, you're really, really toughing it out.
I know. We had a great resort, too. Like, other than a little bit of snowfall, it was pretty easy lifting, too. Jermaine was still doing most of the work back here in Calgary. So kind of a nice little day and a half getaway for Dave and I.
I was just going to say, did you and Parker, like, did you guys have a hot tub by moonlight? Or
No, he went yogging a couple of times, but there were no hot tubs.
Oh, okay. Well, it's all good. It's all good. Probably shared a few bottles of wine, though, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Watch the Habs game.
I noticed the Anaheim Ducks might be making lineup changes. Now, is that due to injury, or is Bruce Boudreaux ensuring his team doesn't take Calgary lightly?
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's actually going to go through with them, but it looks like Paul Mary and Emerson Edom, they were off of their regular lines today, and they had Seacatch in, and they had Fleshman in on regular lines. So now we asked Bruce about it after practice, and he wouldn't commit to it. He said, you know, sometimes you just do these things to send a bit of a wake-up call. Sometimes you want to inject some energy into your lineup, and it'll probably go back to the same, but we'll see. So he left the door wide open for the changes to stick or for them to go back. But I know he was not happy with two things with his team in that third game. One, not enough shots. Two, not enough hits. Now, I don't think Seacatch or Fleshman are going to be guys that bring much in the way of hits, but, if they go with Seacatch, it's maybe a little bit more offense in his lineup, to try and generate some shots, but I can't help but think it's kind of a shot across the bow for a couple of guys, to make them think about their place in the lineup.
Well, you know, which is, hey, they were 6-0 up until that point. It's their first loss of the postseason, and I'm sure Boudreaux knows that you don't let a team get back in the series. And you know, I still think there's more pressure on Calgary than there is on the Anaheim Ducks. But the Ducks would love nothing more than win Game 4. You know, after that extra day off, although I don't think fatigue should be a factor for them at all. What was Boudreaux's message? Or just kind of his demeanor when you talked to him about his team's play?
Yeah, you know, I think, like I said, he's a little bit frustrated because what makes his team so good and what the difference between his team and Calgary's is their ability to be, you know, big and physical and to lean on people, generate a forecheck. And I think it was frustrating to him that they got away from doing that. Like, we all watched Game 1. They were so dominant in those aspects of the game. The Flames couldn't even breathe. And then into Game 2, they started that way and then backed off of it a little bit. And then they never really put their foot to the pedal in Game 3. And I think that's a little bit frustrating for them. So, the lack of hits was the big thing for me. I mean, they ran a hard practice today. They did some battle drills. They were hitting. They were grinding it out. It wasn't a long practice, but it was definitely not an easy one. And that's, you know, it's the second time in these playoffs where he's run a really intense, hard battle drill type practice before games. And I think it's just to kind of jolt some of his guys back awake physically.
Which is, you know what, it's an interesting one. Obviously, because of the extra day play, he's allowed to do that, right?
Yeah. I mean, the 2 days between games, they had an optional yesterday, full up today. They'll have an optional before the game tomorrow. They swept the first round, so it's not like they've played 9 or 10 games already, like some other teams. I think he's, you know, I talked to a few of his players about it today, and they said Bruce has a really good feel for when to kind of put his thumb down on him, when to kick it up a little bit in practice. And they really like the intense practices because they're not long. He's not going like an hour and 40 minutes or anything ridiculous like that. I think he was about 40 minutes today, give or take. And I mean, they still worked on their power play, but what they did is they'd set up their drills to work on the power play. They'd do a battle drill in the corner, and the team on the power play would have to win the battle and then get set up. So they were battle-type drills, but also working on some of their special teams. I like the way the practice was designed. It was, you could tell, you know, being physical and using their bodies was built into almost every drill they did.
Ryan Schaug joined us. Anaheim Duck practice, of course, they get back on the ice tomorrow for Game 4 against the Calgary Flames. Hartley was announced as one of the finalists for the Jack Adams. Do you think he wins?
Yeah, I would think he probably has to. I mean, if you look at what he did with what he had, I don't know that anybody else got more out of the group they were given than he did. And then you add on top of the fact that, you know, the critical injury in his lineup, that he still managed to squeeze his team into the playoffs. I mean, I don't see either of those other guys. I mean, both guys had good years too and should be applauded, but I don't think anybody accomplished what Hartley did compared to what maybe expectations were and what he was given. So I think this one's a no-brainer. How about you?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's always tough. You know, Capuano had a hell of a season too. I could see how why Hartley gets it. I won't have an argument for it. It's, you know, did he get the most out of the group he had? Yeah, it's always hard to find that one. But yeah, I'm not going to be upset if Hartley wins this one. To be completely honest, I think. I'm one though who felt the Hart Trophy race was maybe closer than people wanted to give it credit for. When I compared goalies to goalies from goal scorer to goal scorer, and you know, when I look at how much more dominant it was, but yeah, I'm not going to be upset if Bob Hartley wins.
Who was it? It was Vigneault and Trotz as well.
No, it was it Trotz? I don't even remember. I thought no, yeah, it was Laviolette.
Oh, Laviolette. Yeah, sorry, I was thinking Nashville instead of Trotz. But so Laviolette and Vigneault as well.
Yeah.
Like Laviolette did well with the team in Nashville, and it was a good bounce back year for them. But I mean, you look at the D they have, you look at the goaltender they have. They got a great performance out of a young player in Forsberg. Like, they're a pretty good team. I think that, you know, with that D and that goalie, the expectations to be sniffing around a playoff spot. And they were one of the better teams for a big chunk of the year. But I don't think you could say that he overachieved to the extent that Hartley's group overachieved. And really, isn't that the measure? What are you able to do with what you're given? Vigneault did what he was supposed to do with that group. Laviolette probably overachieved a little bit with the group he had, but Hartley, I think, overachieved greatly with the group he had. And really, I don't know what other measure there is.
That's a fair point. Looking ahead to the other playoffs, we saw Montreal. Man, interesting statistic that twice now in this round, we've seen a team score a goal in the final 2 seconds. We saw it, earlier when Joel Ward did it against the Rangers, and now Tyler Johnson. In the history of the NHL, it had only ever been done twice before ever in the third period. Bob Pulford against Detroit in 1964 and UC Okunin against the Devils in 2009. And now you have it twice.
Like a game winner, you mean? Like a game winner in the final 2 seconds?
No, only two tie-breaking goals in the last 2 seconds of the third period.
Yeah. It's incredible, and it's great drama. But, I mean, when I was watching that, and I can't remember who was rushing the puck up of the ice. It might have been Plekanec, who fired it off the back of who did he hit? Instead of dumping it in and getting it deep, he put it right off the back of I can't remember which Habs it was. He didn't get it deep. Pacioretty, I think. He didn't get it deep. And in those moments, you have your veteran players on the ice because you trust them to make the smart, responsible decisions. And so they're rushing the puck up the ice. Instead of just flipping it in deep, he bounces it off his own player's rear end. Puck transitions up the ice. And then another veteran guy in Markov's flopping all over the ice. I mean, you have those guys out there for that very reason, so that those sorts of breakdowns don't happen. And then you got a young guy in Johnson cashing in on a pass from another young guy in Hedman. Like, just incredible breakdowns from guys that are not supposed to allow that to happen in the Habs lineup. I mean, they got what they deserved. It was just a horrendous breakdown.
No, oh, it was terrible. I couldn't believe it when I'm watching that game. Okay, yeah, we're going to overtime. And then, like, if the best was even, like, Steve Yzerman's reaction upstairs. They banned him, and he's like, wow, we scored. Like, they didn't even, you know what? They totally weren't expecting that. And obviously that series is over now. And
that Johnson's unbelievable, hey? Like,
phenomenal.
I mean, he's been scoring every other game in the playoffs he's been scoring, and he just – I mean, you watch the games, the way he uses his speed, his tenacity, he's such a great combination of just speed and tenacity. He's always digging. His feet are always moving. He's always making plays. What a great find he is for them, and really for next to nothing they get him.
Well, yeah, he's a free agent. They got him for absolutely nothing. He is, for small players who get overlooked, he's going to be, you know, he's the Marty St. Louis of his generation is looking like.
Yeah, and the thing about him, and the same thing about St. Louis, and we've talked about this before, the guy can skate. Because
Yeah.
If you're going to not, if you don't have the size, you have to have the speed. Overcoming, you know, not having enough size or speed, that's extremely difficult. But Johnson is a great skater. He's got great wheels, good acceleration. He can challenge people. You know, I can't remember if I mentioned this on the show or not before, but you compare his skill level to some other players we've seen. I mean, I don't think he's any more skilled a player than Sam Gagne. Sam Gagne was a tenacious player that dug hard in the corners as well. But you take that foot speed and you add it to Johnson, and you can see the difference that that extra gear makes in the amount that he's just able to get done. He can get things done out there because he can get there. He's not fighting his foot speed. And he's just a great player for Tampa, and he's coming up big at the biggest point in the season.
Oh, being huge for Tampa Bay, absolutely monster. He's the guy. They were expecting Stamkos to be their leading goal scorer, and he is clearly filling the void for them. And it looks like Tampa and Washington, remember when they were in the South East division and everybody hated it? And now it looks like both of them will be going to the Eastern Conference Final.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, every day I come on the show and say, I can't give up on the Rangers yet. I was picking the Rangers to come out of the East, and every day it's looking more and more bleak. I'm not going to pack it in on them yet because I still think they have a good team. Rick Nash has to wake up at some point here. I mean, he's got to figure it out. His career playoff totals are brutal. I mean, here's a guy that just for years and years was playing in desolation and no playoffs. And now it's like he doesn't know how to find his game at the most important time. So I don't know. If he doesn't get her going, they don't have a chance, but they're in tough as it is.
Yeah, they're very into. Although, you know what? Every game has been 2-1.
Well, that's just it. I mean, they just have to slow. Did you hear Lundqvist after the game? He was just... they don't feel like they need to fix much. They just need to flip and score. I mean, they're getting scoring chances. They're getting shots on net. They just need to score. These have all been one-goal games. They just need to score.
Yeah. No, well, it's easier said than done. Braden Holtby is playing outstanding.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. His numbers are fantastic. His poise. I know Jamie McLennan's been singing his praises a lot on our network. He's been unbelievable for them. And you take a Capitals group that's been through some failure and been through some frustration. They've had troubles in net in the past. You take a guy and you solidify him with a goaltender who's just playing the best hockey of his life right now. And then you got Alex Ovechkin, who's been reformed a little bit in his game, the best combination of defensive responsibility and offensive prowess we've ever seen out of Ovechkin, the best overall game we've ever seen out of Ovechkin. Then you got Backstrom, who's just a veteran player now who gets it. And then you add in some of these young guys. And, I mean, how about Alston? Like, you see the shots that he blocked last night? I mean, I can't remember who wound up from the point, had a clear shot at the net, and Alston just comes sliding across on one knee, no problem, bang, takes it away. And then he's right back out there, doesn't even miss a beat. That's just a good veteran defenseman that's got a lot of games under his belt. Like, they're just, time has really solidified a lot of players on that Capitals roster, and it's just all coming together for him at the right time.
Drive safe to Calgary. Shagar, you and Parker, I'm sure you'll find a hot tub for the two of you later on. So have a good rest of the trip, and we'll chat with you tomorrow.
All right, pal, we'll talk tomorrow.